secondary heroes.
Secondary short.
Honey, where's my super suit?
No, it's a cardigan, but thanks for noticing.
Killer boots, man.
Dodson, Dodson, we've got Dodson here.
Get it right or pay the price.
Great Scott!
Pizza Dude's got 30 seconds.
Give the audience a grin.
The pleasure's all on this side of the table, trust me.
Well, excuse me, princess.
Yeah, we can even be on TV. We'll be heroes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secondary Heroes podcast. It's time for our Mandalorian special edition. It's up to Season 2, Episode 3, The Heiress. This is your host, Trevor, and joining me as usual is...
Hey, guys, it's Prague.
On a wing and a prayer, this is DeLorean Wolfgang.
Awesome.
Nice. Awesome. Blossom. Hey, hope you guys had a good week.
Yeah. There was a good episode of Mandalorian this week.
Finally.
Well, let's start with our, so in case this is your first time tuning in, we like to start out with our spoiler-free opinions for like a couple minutes, and then we'll dive down and analyze all the parts of the episode with super spoilers. So to start off, I do want to just say after our first two episodes, just because something has errors doesn't mean it's not fun. And just because something's fun doesn't mean it's without errors. They're not mutually exclusive. It's okay.
Uh-oh.
Well said.
Trevor,
well
did you
said.
Did you get called out somewhere?
No. I'm just,
no?
That was in preparation of being called out. If we had a bigger audience base, I would have been called out.
For sure.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because that just made it sound like, oh, no. Someone's
oh, no,
now saying, you're not a real fan.
Now, that was back when we had fans.
Oh.
When we had fans.
Oh.
Had...
oh. We
you hate
you
to
well,
see it.
Yeah.
Well,
anyways.
I mean, Star Wars, am I right, guys? Nobody's ever happy.
Yep. But we will. I'll start with my spoiler-free review.
Sure. Love it. Wow.
This is what I was waiting for. Okay? Those first two episodes, it was worth it to get to this episode because this felt like a live-action episode of Clone Wars. Like, straight out, this could have been an episode of Clone Wars they've actually made really excellently in live-action.
Well, yeah, I agree. I don't know if it was worth it getting through two episodes, but it was definitely the best episode of the season and probably the best episode of the series. So it had that going for it. What about you, Alex?
Well, I thought it was fun. As the normie who has never seen any of that other Star Wars, Clone Wars and stuff like that, I think it was fun. I do like seeing something new because it was definitely different than what we've kind of already been seeing a bunch of already.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm trying to be as vague as possible for those who haven't watched, which I don't know why anybody hasn't watched yet.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, nice hair, Prague. If you're watching on YouTube. No, not that hair. Good God, no.
Good God, no.
But yeah, it was fun. It finally felt like I was seeing something new in the series. Yeah.
Cool. Nice. Yeah. I was wondering what it'd be like for someone. I didn't even think about someone who didn't know who the other characters were, weren't familiar with Rebels or Clone Wars at all, like what their take would be. Because like, yeah, obviously it's fun for people who are in the know of like some of the back lore. It was like exciting. But yeah, if you don't know who these people are, maybe it wasn't as exciting. I'm not too sure.
The thing is, I know that Trevor has been... I don't want to say hounding, but he has been preaching that we need to see Clone Wars and Rebels. Is that the other one? Rebels and Clone Wars. That people need to watch that stuff because it's the best Star Wars out there.
It is.
Yes. I haven't gotten around to that, but maybe one day I'll get around to it.
The cool thing is now you don't. Like, now that they're bringing this into Mandalorian and they're doing the same kind of stuff, it allows them to get away with not having seen those. Because just even this entire episode is set on Mon Cala, which has the Mon Calamari and the Corran, or the Cord... Yeah, the Cordon, or
the
whatever.
Corran?
The, yeah, no,
say,
Cordon
wow.
guy. Cortan.
I thought they were called Squiddy McSquidface, is what I
call
them.
It is Squidface, but yeah, they have an official name.
Squiddy
but there's a whole episode of Clone Wars where... they deal a brokerage between those two species. And we actually get to go to this planet and meet those two species all in live action. It's not just an animated thing where Anakin and Ahsoka are messing around. Pretty fun.
Now, for clarification, I thought this wasn't Mon Calamari. I thought this was a different planet.
It's like Mon Calamari, but it just introduces the species.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, I'm pretty sure it wasn't that planet, I thought.
No, that planet has a whole different hierarchy structure of beings. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. But it was really exciting. God, yep. When he flew down there, I'm like, oh, yeah, the Mon Calamari. Hell yeah. Let's go.
So is it like Waterworld? Dive into
this
Is it if you were to search this planet, would you find Kevin Costner on his catamaran peeing and drinking?
No, he died a long time ago, but it's the same planet. Oh,
okay.
It is.
Nice.
And I believe that's the name of the episode. Isn't that the name of the episode where they had that issue where they were fighting each other? I don't know. I'll go back and try to see if that was. If not, that was a cool reference there, Alex. Very nice. Nicely done.
Thank you. Well, it's immediately what I thought whenever they got down onto the planet and everybody was squid people.
Yeah.
Prawns and squid people. That's all I saw.
Yeah.
Man, if you're from Louisiana, that would have been a great place to live. Mm. They love their prawns out there. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's a reference for our buddy Joey over there on the Four Dorksmen. Anyways, right, should we get into spoilers?
Yeah.
Well, actually, before spoilers, though, don't you have something to say, Alex, to our fans?
Yeah, I was going to get to that. If you guys like what you're listening to, make sure to follow us over on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, all at The Secondary Heroes. It's pretty much the same post, so we're pretty much, like, if you don't use Facebook, you'll see it on Twitter. If you don't use Twitter, you'll see it on Facebook. It's the same stuff. And please, rate and review our podcast on iTunes, because this is, it's a way for people to actually hear us and see us and really get to know us. I'll say us one more time. Us.
Excellent.
And all of this is free for you and priceless to us.
Awesome.
Yeah.
One thing I do want to mention that I forgot to mention last week is that the show looks absolutely amazing in 4K. I didn't realize it, that I got a 4K TV between when the last season ended and this season started. Damn, it's beautifully shot.
It is. Yeah, I have a 4K and it's fantastic.
Yeah, seriously. Get a 4K TV, people.
Especially this episode. Oh, yeah, I will say this episode did a better job of combining the live action animatronics and stuff with the CGI than the last two did. A lot better. Kudos to Bryce Dallas Howard. Thank you for a great episode.
Oh, yes. She directed this. And actually, when the episode ended and I saw Bryce Dallas Howard, I was like, yes, great job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love what she's doing.
Directed by her.
Yep.
Dude, I love what she's doing, man. She's great. Well, and have you noticed that all of her episodes are like female empowering episodes, which I love. I love seeing more of that. Because we don't need a whole bunch of dudes all the time. It's nice seeing
duding
women
around the planet.
Right. I want to see ladies being able to, you know, kick some tail and take names.
There you go. Well said. Yeah, she did a great job all around. So kudos. So yes, let's dive into some spoilers.
If you're listening there, Bryce Dallas Howard.
Right off the top, you have really diving in because they dive into the planet.
Yes.
And they have the manual re-entry. That is a shout out to Apollo 13, directed by Ron Howard. It was her little homage to her dad.
Yeah, that's cute.
Did you see her tweet? She did tweet out.
Did she?
Someone had mentioned it, and then she retweeted it, saying, kind of giving a little winky face to it all.
Yep. So that's
sweet. I thought that was sweet.
So the one thing I did note about that probably you guys might not have, because I don't think you guys have ever watched Firefly. But we've seen the ship in many different directions before, but I've never actually seen it like descend into the planet from the from top down. And it looks just like the Serenity from the top down, that ship, which is kind of, it was kind of weird to see that. I wonder if other fans of Firefly had noticed that. Maybe Ed, if he's listening, if he saw that. It was just a different way of looking at the ship. We always see the ship like flying away or towards us or down. So that was kind of neat to see that entry.
Cool.
Yeah.
No, I started Firefly, and I got halfway through the first episode and never turned it back on. Not because I didn't like it. It's just, it was in 4:3 format, and I just never found the time. I never found the time to come around back to Firefly there. But I want to. I hear amazing things.
It's okay. I like it.
Oh, it's okay. You're saying it's okay. Well, then I don't need to see it if it's just okay.
I mean, if you don't like it, it's not your thing. It's okay.
Well, I'm not saying that I didn't like it. I'm just, we're not talking Firefly right now. Let's get back to the episode.
I just hijacked our episode. Anyways, let's dive back into this episode. Trevor, what's next? What do we do? What happens? We crash or we don't crash?
So, well, no, we almost pull off the landing, but then we splash into the water. And that was actually pretty funny. Like, it's there for slapstick with a ship where he pretty much says the landing was good and then it falls over into the ocean.
And then it doesn't. Yeah. It's like, perfect, stuck the landing.
The cool thing about what I'm finding in this season so far is with the first season, Mando kind of felt invincible. Nothing could hinder him in any way. And this season, it just feels like things happen to him a bunch where he's not in total control, where it seemed like the other season, it was like he was always in control. And this season, it's like his ship's just on its last leg. He's having to corral this little baby Yoda everywhere. Who knows what that kid's doing all the time. Yeah, you know, it's just nice to kind of see him vulnerable.
Sure.
It's because he's at the whims of other people in this season, because he's literally trying to do something that he has no knowledge of. So he has to rely on other people. He can't do it by himself.
Yeah,
no, that's true.
Well, which kind of sucks.
No, Mando is an island.
That's like all side missions then at that point.
Well, see, the side missions, now he's actually on mission. So we get the Geckos reunited. So I rolled my eyes and said, aw. Yeah, great. They're not in the damn scene anymore. But we did get that adorable baby Yoda waking up before when he says we're about to land. It was just an adorable shot. Like, Bryce Dallas Howard has the adorable baby Yoda drinking the cup from her episode. She knows how to shoot baby Yoda.
She does. She really
does. Or baby Yoda just sitting in the chair while the ship's coming into the crash landing. He's sitting there just yucking it up in the back seat. Yeah. Thinking that this is some kind of roller coaster.
This is great. That's cute.
And I noticed that he didn't sound like a droid this episode, so that was nice.
Yeah.
That's true.
Back to baby sounds.
And then his ears are emotive as usual. He says, because Mando's like, I know you're hungry, and he puts his ears down because the eggs are going to walk away, and so they go get the food, and he's, you know, that's when we get the full on. So we missed Alien in episode 2, and they're like, we're still doing the alien to the face thing. This time it comes from the porch. And then he says, don't play with your food.
Yeah.
I thought that was cute as ever.
Yeah.
Him getting.
It took just a whole episode to pay it off.
True. But yes, that was fun. Very
cute. So what I. Just remind me what happens in this little cantina area that they're in now. Because they're obviously on a water planet, and they walked into this cantina to get porridge for the kid. Child, I'm sorry.
One of the Admiral Akbar type guys gives them information on who they need to find, on the Mandalorian they're looking for.
Okay, so the first time when... So the first time he lands and you see all these Admiral Akbars, I'm just imagining it's the loudest planet in the world of these guys running around just going, it's a trap! It's a trap! And just
all the
just
time. That's all
thousands
they do.
Thousands all the time. It's a trap! It's a trap! It's a trap! Trevor, when you edit this, just do a whole lot of reverb to where it sounds like a thousand, it's a trap! It's a trap! It'll be hilarious. It'll be hysterical.
From Finding Nemo. Perfect.
Yep. Mine,
I like it. We did pass over one thing that I really enjoyed, which was the Knives Out reference to the calamari in a sweater, a nice knitted sweater.
Oh yeah,
didn't catch that. Yeah, it was great. Great character. I love that character. Yeah, I'll fix that show. All right. Okay, guy. That was fun. This is the way you talk. Just like, what is up with this guy? What a weirdo. He was like wearing a knit sweater. That was great.
Yeah.
I loved it. Anyway.
That was in the show because I totally miss that.
It's the main guy who repairs the ship. Yeah.
Oh, okay. See, all I saw when I see him is it's a trap. It's a trap. It's a trap. That's all I see. I don't see much else.
Yeah.
So once he does get the information and he gets the alien off of Baby Yoda's face, they go to the fishing vessel and they play a bit of the normal soundtrack And then we get the whole interaction where there's like the sea-based Sarlacc that comes up, and they're That's once again oh, after Mando's armor, because everybody's after Mando's armor. They don't even care about the child, even though the child should be worth more. But everybody wants his armor. And so they kick Baby Yoda into the opening, and the thing comes up and eats it. And it's like, oh no, what's going to happen? Mando's trapped under the ground. They're like stabbing him. Oh, look, there's rescuers. They're Mandalorians too. Yay, he found the Mandalorians and they saved Baby Yoda.
So I love how we're doing this, where you give the entire scene and then we just jump back and comment about what happened. Because that part where they're like, oh yeah, just take a look down there. And then they kick the Baby Yoda like a soccer ball.
Yeah, he goes right into the middle. It's a great kick.
It's a fantastic kick. And then perfect. See, like
right there in the middle, stops.
Teeth just come right up. Oh, dude.
They should do
curling. And to see him,
that was perfect.
To see Mando go all kinds of dad mode. I loved it. As a dad myself. No, I loved it. It was cool.
Yeah, he dove right in. No, he didn't care.
And right into that water. He failed 100%.
Yep, he did.
Well, and I was expecting he was going to do what he did with the Kray Dragon.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll just jump inside of this monster and then shoot it up.
Now I realize what the scene missed was one of the calamari on the ship going, "It's a trap!
It's a trap!"
They should have had some guy like off like was way back distance.
Mando, what? I'm a trap! Close gate.
Oh my god.
Oh well.
You got a whole planet of it's a trap monsters.
And they didn't have it. Come on, Bryce. What's going on? Anyway.
Oh,
and
good stuff.
Look who comes to save the day.
And the cool thing, so if you have watched Clone Wars, as soon as she landed in her armor, you know that's straight out of Clone Wars. They did awesome job in costume design, because that is her animated outfit made live action.
Oh, as soon as I saw it, I'm like, hey, that's her. That's great.
Yep. It's pretty great. All
right, here we go. Fine, let's go. Let's do this then.
And now, yeah, we finally get into it. Because once she shows up, you realize now we're getting into like the overarching storyline of the series. This isn't just a side mission quest. Like, it turns into a side mission episode, but at least there's the overarching thing that we're unfolding. And the really cool thing is the person who voices Bo-Katan on the animated shows is actually her. She's the actress who plays her in the live action.
Oh, that's good to know. I didn't know that.
So in animation or in the animated series, they modeled her after the actress?
I guess, because she looks a lot like her.
Oh, that's fantastic. No, that's really cool.
That worked out.
Yeah.
Oh, it worked out great because, I mean, like when you think about everybody always wants to have that show Archer as a movie or a live action movie or something like that. You could never do that because the guy who voices Archer looks nothing like Archer. You know what I mean?
He's not. No. Yeah.
So it's kind of neat that they almost had this little bit of foresight to do this.
Yep. And then the child is actually saved by the third person of the little Mandalorians, but all we see is flashes under the water. We don't actually get to see or do anything with the big sea monster, but then once the child's out, she holds it like a little baby and it's adorable.
Yeah, baby.
But it's
baby
little
stuff.
It's a little carrier's crush, so I guess he's gonna have to fly in something else, or maybe they fixed it and we just didn't see. I don't know. We were never told, I guess.
Yeah, we'll see soon enough. But then we get the whole exposition of who this is. So if you've never watched Clone Wars or Rebels, she gets to tell you who she is and that she's an actual Mandalorian and there's a planet called Mandalore. And she finally, somebody finally tells Mando to his face, you are part of a cult. You are insane, dude. Just shut up with your this is the way crap. It doesn't mean anything of being a Mandalorian.
He's like, no, this is the way. No, I'm going to fly away.
Well, okay, so for myself, in that scene where they all land, they all, you know, take everybody out on the ship and they're all just standing there. And then she takes off the helmet. I legitimately went,
you can't do that.
Yeah.
It was a great scene because you see it from behind them too. You're like, oh, she's going to take off her helmet. It's going to be her. I'm like, yep, there it is.
She loves taking her helmet off.
God, dude. I was like, you can't. Why is she doing this? No.
It was a good moment.
Yep. Child of the Watch.
And then I started thinking, is Mando now going to feel comfortable enough to take off his helmet? And then the toy that just came out of Mandalorian where he's got his helmet off, maybe that now makes sense.
Maybe. We shall see.
Maybe they cast it somebody.
When I saw that
reason.
Toy, I was like, dude, come on, spoiler.
Yeah.
Even though it he took it off in the first season.
Yeah, it could be a reference to first season. That was probably maybe a season one toy. But either way, I think that this bringing this idea into the show is going to eventually lead to him being able to take off his helmet. That's the whole point. He's breaking down. He's accepting other aspects, other religions. He's being more open with himself, which is good. His character development. So yes, I do think he'll be taking off his helmet at some point, either this season or next.
I'm glad I got you guys all here together. I want to talk to you about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Of course.
We wear helmets.
Lord and Savior
Mon sure.
Calamari.
It's a trap.
Everything's a trap. All the time.
I did like that after they took off the helmet and he was like, what are you doing? They gave the you hate to see it look. Like, they're like, oh, damn, it's one of these guys. They all gave the you hate to see it look.
Yeah, one of these guys. All
right. Look at this guy over here. Hey, guys, check it out. He leaves his helmet on.
All the time. He never takes it off. I don't even know how this guy eats.
It's wild. Unreal. Check it. Oh, man.
Like she calls up some more Mandalorians. They like fly to land on the ship.
Hey, everybody, gotta check this out.
One of them pulls out their iPhone, takes a picture. Check this guy. Do it out. Don't worry, I'm just tweeting this out real quick. I'll get back to you in a second.
Yeah, just hold on.
So they leave separately, and then Mando lands back on the shoreline, and he blows up the ship. And that's the best cinematography of this season so far, where you get to see the whole, it's kind of like Rogue One cinematography where you see the explosion and it's all the sun setting on the ocean. It's pretty beautiful.
Yeah, that was cool. Especially when you could see their, like, they all take off from it and you can see, like, the smoke from their rocket paths. Love that. Love it.
Great stuff.
More Bryce Dallas Howard. I think that's what we're getting at.
Yes.
At this
we're getting at. Average right to every episode. But anyways, we digress.
Yeah, because then we land back and we have the classic Wild West trope of you killed my brother and there's going to be a gun shootout and they have to come in and kill all of them for no reason. Like, were they watching from the side? They're just waiting for Mando to come into something.
Wait till they blow up the ship, guys. Hold on. Oh, then now they kill my brother. Darn. For revenge.
It's almost like Davy Jones from Pirates of the Caribbean. This is like where he came from with all these squid face people. Exactly. That's all
you
I can think
squid
about
face
was
people.
I'm like squid face. So Davy Jones came from squid face people planet and he's on Earth ruling the seas or something. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on there, but I didn't care for the squid face people.
Squid face people. They were like in the background in one of the original movies and they love trying to make them into bigger characters. Like they were called Squidface until like 2008 or something. And then they finally gave them an official race or species or whatever.
There will always be Squidface to me.
Aww.
But now they're dead and now the band's reunited and the Mandalorians are all together. Happy time. Time for another mission.
And I do have to give appreciation. It's much tougher to do live action jetpacks than animated jetpacks. And it pulls off pretty well.
Yeah, it looks good. Yeah. Oh, and we didn't explain why Mandalorian was in this predicament with the squid face people. He got mad at the other Mandalorians and was like, I can't hang out with you guys because you take your helmets off. And he shoots off, right? Am I wrong there?
Well,
okay,
no,
I
he
just
shoots off,
sure.
But they're also like, yeah, you kind of suck, and we're just going to leave you now.
Yeah,
dude, by the way, you're on a cult.
But then they probably saw him in trouble, like, all right.
And
fine.
Oh, boy.
You're wearing the armor.
Squid face people.
Poor kid. All right, let's help him out.
And then we get more exposition. We have, I've been quested to return this child to the Jedi. And, okay, now we have this whole, like, I forgot that sequence even existed. I'm like, when the hell did that bring up? But I guess it's in the finale of season one. The armorer tells him that there's this ancient race of sorcerers known as the Jedi that have this beef with the Mandalorians and it goes way back. And he's like, do we still hate them? And she's like, no, we don't hate them anymore. And so it opens the door. Yeah. I had to look it up because I was, when they said it, I was like, when the hell was he tasked to do that?
Yeah, I thought he was supposed to bring him back to his species. And then
yeah,
like, great.
His people being other Yoda species, not other Jedi. Right. Who knows?
Like, I never heard him say Jedi or anybody ever mention Jedi in the first season, to be honest with you.
I know, that's
the
why
Mandela
I had to look
it up. Effect. That's what it is, the Mandela effect. It never happened.
Well, and that's the same thing with him. Like, for instance, the last episode where he said, may the force be with you. It's, where did you get that from? Are you, you know what I mean? Like, right. All of a sudden, he now knows about the Jedi. He now knows about the force. He now knows the may the force be with you type of stuff. Like, I guess these were things that don't need to be explained. And we're just going to go, oh, okay, he's in on this now.
That's how Star Wars Maybe. Is.
Yeah, Star Wars.
You just get in on it after you're in for a bit.
This is the way.
At least maybe he'll stop saying that. I don't know.
We shall see.
This is not the way, bro. But then we have the unnecessary worm where she slurped it on her face. It was that CGI worm where she's eating. And I was like, what the hell is the point of including this in the sequence?
Okay.
It was a stupid scene. And
I
then
kind of liked it.
We get to the point where... they look off into the distance and they're like scoping something out. She's like, we're gonna hijack that ship. Do you see that ship? And it's like the only thing in the entire scene is this big
obvious
ship.
Do you see that
ship?
Do
you see that ship?
The entire sky.
Yes, I see that ship. It was just like last week, Alex, when you brought it up about or it was the first episode. Do you see
the
that
first
dragon?
it would
have been funny if Mando said no.
There he is.
He like looks over, huh? No.
Wait, where? Which ship?
Yeah, well, what ship? I don't see what you're talking about.
And then
you
he finally leaves
Imperial
Baby Yoda
cruiser,
which is cool. He leaves Baby Yoda with the frog people to not have to bring him along. Like, he could have done this in episode one. He could have left him with Amy Sedaris. He finally wises up and like, maybe I should get like a babysitter every so often, like when I go on deadly missions.
Yeah, every planet has the built-in babysitter.
So how did you guys feel about this where it all of a sudden became, I feel like it was almost like an apology to all the people who lost their minds. About
it's a redemption arc. It's
That's
for sure
it,
a redemption arc. Yeah.
Because everybody was losing their S about this.
Yeah.
Him eating the eggs. And I don't know if you guys saw the tweets and all the threads on it, but it just went on. Dude, there's some people just lost their minds about a fake Baby Yoda thing eating fake eggs from a fake woman. So
I ignored it all. I had no idea what happened. But I
guess it's so ridiculous.
Right.
But people get upset over anything
people
anymore.
People get upset about everything.
Him sitting there watching the eggs hatch and watching the little tadpole gecko people. And then he's like, oh, okay. Now I'm friends with this thing now.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I thought that was a little...
It definitely wasn't in response to the media, I think, because this was shot a long time ago. But
right, of course. But
redemption arc.
Yeah, they kind of needed to do something.
They knew
though.
That they made Baby Yoda into prick, and they had to make it so he's less of a prick. They
So it's funny that you say that, because the first time that I watched that in episode two, I never put that together that he's being a prick. But I listened to an episode of Nerd On podcast, and they totally like just echoed what you said, Trevor, where it was just, look at this prick. He's now a villain. He's kind of a villain. And then, yeah, now he's a good guy again because he's friends with the tadpole people.
They're laying the groundwork though, for him to have that whole nurture versus nature discussion at some point. Like if he is with the Jedi, he turns out different than if he's with a bounty hunter. They're going to get into that philosophical discussion eventually.
Yeah.
Because in Clone Wars, they show Anakin where it's not terrible prequel Anakin. He's actually a fully developed character that actually has motives and decisions behind his actions. And so they show sometimes how you can see that he's trending towards becoming Darth Vader. And so Dave Filoni's already good at that whole balancing act.
And it's not acted by a certain actor. So that helps too.
It's not the actor's fault. It's 100% George Lucas's fault. He told him to act like a piece of wood, and so he did. You got to give him credit. He acted like a piece of wood. I mean, that's good acting. You got to take action. You got to take direction from the director. What can you do? You can't be like, oh, I'm going to act emotive or expressive when director just said, you see how I talk? I want you to talk like that.
You see how I talk?
Star Wars is actually like a very in-depth. Never mind. I'm not gonna do. Not gonna do that impression.
But then we transition to the mission. Next scene, we're transitioning to the mission. They're going to go to the ship, and we have this stupid white noise rock anthem that is completely out of place with the show, and I don't know how they picked to put that sound choice within the structure of the show, but we get the stupid stormtroopers because you couldn't have any Imperial thing without stupid stormtroopers to toss away, because that's all they are. They're things to toss away and just, like, minor annoyances. And so
well,
we go
toss them away.
Yeah.
They even said whenever they landed on the ship that was up there, they said, oh, it's filled with stormtroopers. They can't hit the side of a Bantha.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the guy who runs the ship is Bosch, Tyus Wolliver. He's also the man in black from Lost, so that was fun.
Heck yeah. I was like, yes, finally, he's an evil Empire guy. That's great. Anyways.
But we got to see Mandalorians in action, all the Mandalorians, because that was straight out of Clone Wars, where you go down a corridor with all the closing doors, an Imperial corridor, and you hide behind the little things, and you advance onto the stupid stormtroopers, and you blast them away. It was just like, they've probably done that in Clone Wars, like, I don't know, thousands of times, and just to see it live action was great. I don't even care.
Well, you most likely saw it in A New Hope.
No, it's not the same at all in A New Hope.
Oh my god.
They don't just blast through stormtroopers and leave waves of them dead and step over them. That never happens in the original trilogy.
No, they usually run away. Ah! Anyways.
Okay, well then my bad.
Yeah, Han runs away from him. Luke never does anything. He never goes and slices through a bunch.
No.
That's true.
Well, they didn't have the technology then.
That's true. You can have pretty much two stormtroopers that are in action sequences.
So where do we go from here? So they get into the ship and start mowing down these stormtroopers.
Yeah, they go from phase to phase, and then they get into the another lame Imperial Brigade where the guy's freaking out the actual head of the thing, and so they're locking the doors, and then they lock them in the cargo control area. And you know what that actually means, since you're actually in the cargo hold, so they open the door and they go flying out and die. And so that's
sucks
fun.
Sucks to be them!
Love the reaction shot, too, whenever one of the guys realizes, oh, we're in the wrong spot. Or, oh, our guys are in the wrong spot.
Yep.
Yeah, reaction.
And so
in the cockpit.
Then she gets to talk to Bosch, and she's like, I lost it. I need to get it back. And she's referencing the Darksaber, but she only calls it it. And we know from Rebels, she was the last one in possession of the Darksaber, so we still don't know how she lost it. If it means so damn much to you, why don't you have it in your possession? Why the hell did Gus Fring get the damn Darksaber?
How did it happen? Tell us. Tell us.
But no, we'll just call it it, and we'll leave that for a later episode. Thanks.
Oh, they called. She mentioned it by name in the.
Yeah, she said it.
Not
she
in
said,
this sequence. That's
saber?
Not until after they leave this whole mission. That's a second mission down the road.
Right, but it's in this episode.
Right. Yeah.
When she mentions it.
But still, we called it it twice when she's talking to Gideon.
It's because she probably knows that he knows what it is. I don't know. Who knows?
It was dismissive to the audience.
That's all it was. Yeah. It was done on purpose.
I know.
Anyways,
so
it didn't bother me. But anyways, keep going.
She rubs it in. This is the way after they take the guns and stuff. She really sarcastically says, this is the way. It's really nice. I liked it.
I enjoyed it.
Wait, Trevor and sarcasm?
It's always fun.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I don't have much to say on that one.
Okay, so they're passing through, and then Gideon goes on the little hologram, and he says, long live the Empire, so the ship goes on a kamikaze mission. And so now we got to get it up to the cockpit so we can save the ship and all of the cargo that we just got. And so the actual Mandalorian takes all the fire. You know, they're held back. How are we going to make it to the cockpit? Somehow it's 10 seconds, and it only takes 4 seconds for them to mow through 5 million people and get to the cockpit. It's pretty awesome. And so they get there with 6 seconds still to go after he takes all the fire for the mission. And taking the fire in his cool special armor, they're like, oh, he's a Mandalorian then, because he just put himself on the line for us. Oh, cool, great. And so they barely save it just above the water. It, like, literally, if 5 milliseconds went by, it would have dipped into the water. But of course, that's how you have to have a show. It always has to barely go do anything. So then Bosch takes the cyanide type of electrical pill and dies because he's not going to give up any mission or any intel about the Darksaber. And that's when she specifically mentions the Darksaber by name. And he says something along the lines of, if you know, then you already know. It's like, what? Just shut up.
It's like, you know that episode we're going to air like maybe two or three episodes from now, but I can't say it to the audience yet. Yeah, let me die now.
I will say it was cool whenever he bit into the little pill and it electrocuted his face. That was pretty cool.
I enjoyed that very much. Yeah, it's nice little callback to the Vader.
Well, I like the animation that they did for his face where you could like kind of see through his skin. It was nice. It was nicely done.
There's going to be an action figure of that.
Mm-hmm. They love those.
Oh yeah.
There's that Black Series Vader where he's all electrocuted in his. Yeah, it's pretty
rad.
Cool.
Anyways, so that happened.
And then we get exposition some more, because this episode was exposition, action, exposition, action, exposition. It was pretty cool. So we're on to the exposition sequence of, hey, guess what? Since you helped us and you took all that fire when we're going down the corridor and you actually saved the ship, I'll just tell you about the Jedi now. We don't have to like finish any stupid deals or whatever like that. And so the Jedi is Ahsoka. Tell her that Bo-Katan set you. You know, Ahsoka Tano, you've heard of her, right? He's like, no, I have no idea who that is. So now we got to go find Ahsoka. I don't know what stupid planet Ahsoka's on. She named some stupid moon in some far off place. But the best part is, I had to look up the timeline. Mandalorian is after Rebels. It's literally, so that means that Ahsoka is not a Jedi. She's the furthest thing
from
at the...
I noticed that too. And I was like, wait, why are you going to send her to somebody who's no longer a Jedi? Or maybe she doesn't know? Does she not know?
Because I was thinking, I was like, based on the timeline of this, the only Jedi should be Luke. He's the only Jedi right now. And he's like, because we don't know if Obi-Wan and Yoda lived based on this timeline, because we haven't gotten to A New Hope yet. Or no, this is after Return of the Jedi. They're both dead. We don't know what Luke's doing. Like, is this when he's starting the school with Kylo? I have no idea.
My guess is that they're going to go to her, not realizing she's no longer a Jedi. She's going to do the whole Luke Skywalker thing in
Last
Return
Jedi.
Return of the Jedi. The Last Jedi.
Yeah, it's going to be the whole thing.
It's going to be that whole thing.
Yeah, at the end
get
of
away
Clone
from
Wars.
Me. I don't do that anymore.
Yeah, so Clone Wars ends where she leaves the Jedi Order because they essentially don't trust her. She's framed for murder and they put her on trial and don't believe anything that she says. And that lack of faith in her. Because she didn't do it. So that lack of faith, she just leaves the Jedi Order. And then they came back and did Clone Wars again for the new season that just came out. And in that, she meets Bo-Katan and they have a whole connection to build kind of into this episode. But that's at the end of Clone Wars. Rebels still to come. By Rebels time, she's been on her own for like 10, 15 years outside of being a Jedi. She becomes like she's the mole against the Empire. She kind of helps the Rebels along the way. But then if you've watched Rebels enough, Ahsoka and Rebels is this weird, it's the only time in Star Wars where they've used time travel. So Ahsoka's existence in the Star Wars universe has this weird parallel universe time manipulation thing that messes up the overarching storyline. So I don't know why they're focused so much on Ahsoka to include in this series, because it's a dangerous slippery slope of time threads.
I think the only reason was to have, because she was so popular, it was like, we have to bring her on the show somehow, figure it out.
Ahsoka is the best. Ahsoka.
Yeah, so they like, oh, do it. We'll figure it out. Who cares? We'll make it up. We'll just write a book about it or something.
I'm going to have to watch this show, aren't I?
Well, it's tough without it, just because so much happens with Ahsoka. Literally, Clone Wars is about Ahsoka. As much as they want to say it's about Anakin's descent and all that stuff.
No, it's not.
It's about Ahsoka. Yeah. It's essentially her time to shine. And so we get entire character development across 7 seasons. And so
here's the problem is like for people like me and like the normal people who are watching for Baby Yoda, they're watching this going, OK, cool. Here's a redhead girl. She's a Mandalorian who takes off her helmet. Cool.
That's accessible. Yeah.
Like there's nothing else that tells us who these people are.
I think that's fine. I don't think that you necessarily need to. I think it's just fun for fans who know the lore, I would think.
I do, too. Yeah.
Right.
And just but, for me, I mean, when I like for you, I understand like Ahsoka, when they say Ahsoka Tano, that doesn't mean anything unless you've heard me say it. You've never seen her do anything on screen.
Yes, exactly.
So you can just think of her as a Jedi, because what I'm saying is that she's not a Jedi. And so that's interesting because I know who she is. But if you are watching it without knowing who she is, you're like, OK, Jedi, we're going to take Baby Yoda back to that. I understand that whole thing at the bare minimum.
We just ruined it for everybody then, apparently.
Yeah.
I feel like there's so much that Star Wars fans already complain about. And let's say that this Ahsoka thing goes askew in a way that doesn't line up with the timelines that you're talking about.
Yeah.
I have a feeling people are going to now hate Mandalorian because Ahsoka's not a Jedi.
Well, not only that. People already don't like Rosario Dawson, and they don't like that Rosario Dawson was cast to be Ahsoka. There's a whole cancel culture for Rosario Dawson. So
what? I thought people loved that.
Oh, no, it's a whole transgender thing. Yeah.
Oh, God. Come on.
Yeah, she's a transphobe, so it's not working out too well for the Star Wars community.
Gotcha.
She's not transgender.
Yeah, they're going to find any excuse they can to not like what she's going to do as Ahsoka.
Right.
That's my only hesitation with that, because again, in that episode of Rebels, she goes and somehow fights Darth Maul and Darth Vader all within the same time because she's in this weird time realm thing where Ezra bridges a gap between time periods. So
I like Ezra. Yeah.
Ahsoka can be anything and anyone at any time. But again, at this point in time, she was already Fulcrum. Rebels is completed in her arc. Ahsoka, literally, the last time we saw Ahsoka before her name is dropped is she left with Sabine to go find Ezra. Their mission is to go. Because Ezra just transported to like a different realm of reality. And so they've been searching the galaxy for Ezra. It's like the search for Spock. It's the same stupid idea. And so if you bring in Ahsoka, isn't Sabine have to be with Ahsoka? And Sabine has all connections to Bo-Katan and all Mandalorian. Because essentially, Bo-Katan could be the ruler of Mandalore. But Sabine could be the ruler of Mandalore too. They both have a claim on being rulers of Mandalore.
Oh, they should fight it out. At the end of the season.
Because they're going to end up back on Mandalore.
Fight.
And Mandalore is in such terrible shape right now. Oh, does it take an outsider like the Mandalorian to save Mandalore? Oh, that's where isn't it?
It is.
Oh, wow. Did you just figure out
Figured out the whole end of the 6 seasons or however long this runs. Damn. Yeah. You hate to see
it. You hate to see it. But this is the way.
I don't know, man. I think I want to see it. That sounds kind of fun.
But yeah, so they have that whole conversation. He now knows where Ahsoka is, and so we'll find Ahsoka eventually. And he gets to skydive off the ship when it's moving, which is pretty badass.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, that looked awesome, him jumping off the edge.
Yep.
Swan dive. He should have screamed swan dive when he jumped off.
Yeah.
It would have been so much cooler.
Sure.
Sorry, that was one thing. Because whenever I watched it, I went, swan dive.
And then we go back to Baby Yoda, the tadpole.
Who's now friends with
the tadpole's a little bigger.
Which, by the way, if he was on that other planet from season one, he would have eaten that tadpole like that.
I'm pretty sure he still wanted to eat the tadpole if both the parents weren't there. Like, I don't even think it was a redemption arc. Like, it looks like he's trying to grab it more than it looks like he's trying to play it.
Grab it?
Inching towards his face, and then the door opens, and there's Mandalorian.
Oh, look, perfect timing.
Phew.
Some fries, mother trucker.
Right?
And then we go back to the ship, and it's rebuilt with ropes and nets, and it's barely hanging together.
It was awesome. I love that. I love Sweater Guy. I don't want that guy's name. I had to look that guy's name up. He's my favorite character. Knives Out. Guy.
I gave
Knives
you a 1,000 croon. I gave you 1,000 credits.
He's like,
he just walks away. He's like, you're signed for it.
Yeah. That's some mad energy.
The fact that people still need to sign for things in space. In space. Yeah. Yeah.
It's all you don't want to get sued. It doesn't matter.
Do they use squid ink to sign?
Ah, I like it. They should have. That would have been a nice touch.
It's a whole industry like, there. Squirt, squirt. That's a whole industry. They might as well. Anyway, yeah, whatever.
And then
cool.
That's pretty much the entire episode. Because then he jumps to hyperspace. One of the pieces of metal that is like just one of the sidings just falls off or whatever.
Or that's part of his own personal armor falls off, you know? So he's actually, like, breaking away and becoming more, you know, human.
Oh, my God. Depth to storytelling that I don't think exists in this show.
I know. I'm trying to give it some hope.
Oh, well, all in all, it was a fun episode. I'm actually really surprised you guys didn't have a lot to bash on this one.
They like finally did what I wanted them to do.
A lot to bash on.
Well, yeah, because nothing happened for two episodes. I'm like, the first two episodes could have been combined into one. I would have been at least a little bit more happy with it.
Yeah.
Well, the two episodes should have been more like episode 4 and 5. Like, that's what those felt like. They didn't feel like episode 1, 2.
They should have made this episode 1 to introduce Bo-Katan, and then he goes on side missions where you're already invested and you're like, okay, when is he going to get to Ahsoka?
Yeah,
when is he going to do all the Mandalore stuff?
So 1 and 2 was like Game of Thrones season 8, 1 and 2.
It was.
Where they pretty much did nothing for two episodes.
Yep. There you go.
Oh, no.
Awesome.
Could this be going in the way of Game of Thrones?
No. Episode 3 was definitely better than whatever that episode, what was it called? Longest Night? What was that stupid Battle of the North called? Where they just killed the Night King.
It was Longest Night or something, I think. Yeah. I don't know.
Forgettable.
That was like episode 7?
No, it was
Dude,
early.
I don't remember. Early.
I don't know.
Who cares?
Forget it. It's in the
past. Who knows? There's not an accurate comparison.
It's in a galaxy far away.
No, it was a
one.
Joke comparison. I'm sorry if I threw anybody off out there.
Dan and David, luckily, to have nothing to do with Star Wars.
But we came close, though.
If you are interested at home to know more about Bo-Katan, if you put on Clone Wars is an anthology series, so it's not chronological. So you could just jump in and be like, I'm going to watch season 2, episode 3. I'm going to watch season 5, episode 4. You can do that with Clone Wars because it's not predicated on the past. It's not like, you know, even Mandalorian, it's based on everything that you've come before. So with Clone Wars, season 2, episodes 12 to 14. Is when we first meet Bo-Katan. And then season 5, episode 14 to 16, we get a lot more about Bo-Katan and her sister and relationships on Mandalore, because her sister is the Duchess of Mandalore, and we get all kinds of backstory in that. And it also ties into Darth Maul once he's back and kind of working on his undersided stuff of... He really starts on Mandalore, because he uses Bo-Katan's Death Watch to kind of take over Mandalore. So that's a good sequence. And then season 7, episodes 9 and 10... are the new season that I was referencing. It's where she, the last time we see her talk to Ahsoka. So it sets up how she knows where Ahsoka is right now.
There you go.
So that's not that many. That's only 8 episodes. They're 22 minutes each.
This is so much Star Wars.
Never enough.
Oh, no, there's definitely enough. And Mandalorian is right there, baby.
But she also shows up in Rebels. This is the one I wouldn't jump into and just watch willy-nilly, but Rebels Season 3, Episode 15 to 16, and Rebels Season 4, Episodes 1 and 2, Bo-Katan ties in, and that gets more of Sabine and what it means to be a Mandalorian and the different complexities of the politics of the planet Mandalore that our Mandalorian has no idea of. He's completely oblivious to the planet that his name and cult is based on.
Yeah.
I still can't get over the fact that someone's name is Bo-Katan.
It's crazy.
I know, it's kind of annoying. Because every time I hear it, I think about the city in Florida. That joke's going to come up a lot every time we talk about Bo-Katan on the show.
Florida woman!
She's kind of like Florida woman.
Oh, let's not get into this. Not tonight, boys.
Let's wrap this up.
So, again, season 2, episode 3 is good. It's the first good one this season. Let's hope we get more of these.
That's right. For sure. And don't forget, again, please follow us over on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram for updates and stuff like that. Rate and review our podcast over on iTunes because it's free for
Subscribe.
You and priceless to us.
To everyone listening, we hope you enjoy, and we'll talk to you next time.
Frog out.
Toodaloo!